Welcome home. We are WNST, Taos of Baltimore. Baltimore Positive. What a week ahead we have. Not just my birthday, Luke's birthday. We're giving away Raven Scratch Offs in the Maryland Lottery. We'll be at Pizza John's on Friday afternoon. What time? I don't know. Anytime there's pizza there. I'll be there all afternoon. We'll be doing some radio, doing some video, doing some podcasts. Leonard Raskin's his birthday is this Friday, so he's coming by for his birthday as well. He had a crab feast the other night. We've been at Costas, we've been at Fadley's, and we're about to take the show back out on the road with the Oyster Tour as well, brought to you by our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions, 1-800-CLEAN-WATER. They keep your water clean, anything plumbing, anything well water especially, they do great. Our friends at Royal Farms power us up, as well as Jiffy Lube, a multi-care, getting Luke back and forth to Owings Mills, where there will not be any complaining, bitching, looking backward at the Cincinnati game. So we'll do it right now. We have praised the special teams to some degree, certainly the offense and what's happened there. I think we've been appropriately critical of Coach Harbaugh and the timeouts and clock management and the fact that they were losing by 10 points twice in the fourth quarter and made that comeback. But they were losing by 10 points twice in the fourth quarter because they couldn't stop a nosebleed, as old Buddy Ryan would tell me. Couldn't stop nosebleed, nasty. That was one of my – I didn't even put that in that piece with David Bacchino last week on my Lawrence Taylor beat the pros thing. But they couldn't stop a nosebleed, Luke.
They couldn't. And, I mean, they actually did a decent job in the first half. I mean, obviously, Cincinnati goes 10 plays, 86 yards on their second drive. But remember the opening drive for Cincinnati, three and out. The third drive, the drive that followed that touchdown, three and out. Three and out again. One first down allowed and then a punt. And, well, the Bengals get the ball back with under a minute to go in the first half. And it was a very, very, very different story from that point on. Hey, I'll say this much. They did make a couple big plays at the end of the game, namely Marlon Humphrey with the interception that allowed them to drive and kick the game-tying field goal. Justin Madubuike with the sack on first down that thwarted any thought of the Bengals winning it in regulation. So, and they stopped the run on those three very conservative play calls from Zach Taylor and the Bengals offense after the Lamar Jackson fumble. But I mean, look, they gave up 38 points. I don't really know where to even begin other than just the fact that they were completely shredded by Joe Burrow and this Bengals passing game. And I mean, they had no answers whatsoever in that second half, like I said, until the very end. So I think there was a sense of the Ravens defense having turned the corner when they held Buffalo to 10 points. And they made, the, you know, remember Van Noy had the big play when it looked like that Bengal or that Bills game was threatening to turn sideways a little bit. The defense made the big play to kind of calm things down, and they dominated again from that point on. But this was not just what we saw against Dallas in the fourth quarter or against the Raiders in the fourth quarter. This was two plus quarters of seeing the defense absolutely shredded. So the good news is most teams don't have Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins as it pertains to a passing operation. But this group needs to get better and they need to clean things up. And I think through five games, to me, we've seen the makings of a really good defense at times, but when it's gone sideways, it's gone really sideways and it looks really bad. So, I mean, they've got to figure that out. And, you know, we've talked about it. I mean, the transition from Mike McDonald, who had basically solved Joe Burrow and this Bengals offense the last couple years, to Zach Orr, who, you know, I'm not putting it all on Zach Orr, but he's in charge of the defense, right? I mean, he's running the operation. So, they've got to figure this out because while not every team has Joe Burrow and Chase and Higgins, it's not to say other teams aren't going to have talented quarterbacks and talented passing outfits. So they've got to figure this out. I mean, after Sunday's game, you know, as they wake up Monday morning feeling good about a win overall, they're back down to, I think, 31st in passing yards allowed. So got to get better there. I mean, it's great to stop the run. Don't get me wrong. And they've stopped the run all year. But you got to be able to do better than what we saw in that second half against the Bengals. I mean, thank goodness for Lamar Jackson and this Ravens passing game and, you know, 2 minute offense rising to the occasion, because I mean, they didn't stop anyone through the bulk of that second half. I mean, that was pretty embarrassing by Ravens defensive standards.
Well, I would also say historically they've been a little bit more balanced in the thought that the defense would at least be good enough to put you at 20 or 23 up if Lamar could get to 27 or 30 on their worst days. On their best days, they're shut the door, right? That's how the guy out in Seattle got his gig. That's how Anthony Weaver, our pal, has got the gig in Miami. The players have come a long way. That's how Patrick Queen got his contract in Pittsburgh. So, like, on and on and on and on through all the graduates of the program from CJ Mosley, on through, and the guys they've kept behind, and the guys they've signed and spent big money on, like Marcus Williams, and big draft picks on, like Nate Wiggins, right? So, where are you in the evaluation of are they good enough? Did they underestimate the pass rush in the aftermath of Clowney? Madubuike got an incredible deal, and Roquan's on an incredible deal. And Marlon Humphrey's on an incredible deal, and Kyle Hamilton's their best player. So there's a point where the money and the balance of what they've done on offense, spending a lot of money, a lot on the running back, saved a little money on the left tackle, and that's gone well. I mean, Ronnie Stanley's playing above grade now, which is from a money standpoint, but the defense and the money and the draft picks and what you're expecting out of the middle of the defense and the middle back of the defense has been suboptimal.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. And that's, I mean, let's be clear, on Sunday, the Bengals threw it all over the place, right? I mean, it wasn't just the middle of the field. I mean, they did whatever they wanted, basically, which is still why I go back to that final their final drive after the Lamar fumble, and I just kind of scratch my head that they just decided, oh, we're going to run it three times against the teeth of the defense, and we're going to try a 53-yard field goal. I mean, it just didn't make sense in that way to me. But, we've seen, and this has been the theme early on, that that intermediate to deep middle portion of the field has been a major problem. I think Roquan Smith, from a pass coverage standpoint, and the inside linebackers from a pass coverage standpoint, acknowledging that, yeah, when you went from Patrick Queen to Trenton Simpson, there was probably going to be some growing pains in the same way there was for Patrick Queen early in his career. And he was a first round pick, not a third round pick. So I can't say I'm shocked by that. And they've adjusted accordingly, playing a little more dime. They take Trenton Simpson off the field in some obvious passing situations. I think that's the right thing to do strategically. I think we can question at times whether that has worked in terms of whether that personnel grouping has then done the job you needed to. But you alluded to it. I'm not sure what the Ravens are getting from Marcus Williams at this point in time. And I know we've talked at length about the fact that this guy was healthy for most of his time in New Orleans, and he's dealt with injuries, dealt with an injury that, really derailed what was an awesome start his first year with the Ravens. Remember, he had like three picks the first two games or whatever it was. I mean, was playing at a really high level, then suffered what? I think it was a fractured wrist, and then was out until late December or late November, December, whenever it was. So that was unfortunate. Last year, we know he played with the torn pec for the bulk of the year, really impacted his ability to tackle. But that said, I don't think he played poorly over the bulk of the season. I think, that element of his game was lacking, but I thought he was still good in coverage. I mean, their defense was excellent last year. But and we talked about this a lot with the Raiders game, with the Dallas game in the fourth quarter. I see someone who's in no man's land a lot. When you're playing deep center field, yes, your job is to not have anyone throw the ball over your head, but that doesn't mean that you play so far back that they just complete passes in front of you over and over and over. And we've seen that be a problem. Now, every time that's happened, that doesn't mean it's Marcus Williams' fault every time. Let's be clear, and that's part of the responsibility of looking at this and knowing that there's always going to be some unknown in terms of what coverage they were in and what everyone's responsibility was. In the same way that, if you recall, in week one, there was that busted coverage, right? And everyone initially blamed Marlon Humphrey. It was Kyle Hamilton who wasn't didn't have deep half of the field the way he was supposed to. That was Hamilton's fault, not Marlon Humphrey's. So we also understand that. So I'm not saying that all of their problems in pass defense stem from Marcus Williams, but I mean, for someone who's a $17 million safety, he's got to be a bigger part of the solution than what we've seen. You know, he's not doing much of anything back there. And, you know, whether it's not making tackles or being slower to react in coverage, whatever. I mean, they need better from him. You know,
And
and
seeing
it's not
Geno
just him.
Stone out there catching Derrick Henry reminds me he caught some footballs around here too.
He did. And look, I mean, I'm not saying Geno Stone warrants a $17 million per year contract either. And the Bengals didn't do that, but in terms of value, in terms of play you're getting for what someone's making, Marcus Williams is a value problem right now. There's
Dude,
no
I saw
question
Chuck
about
Clark
that.
out making plays on Sunday too when I was watching
So
football too. So, you know, there's some other guys out there that like escaped the program here that made a lot of plays here. That's how they got to the other places, literally, right?
sure. So I mean, look, I've seen some people debate whether the Ravens are overrated in the secondary in terms of their talent. I mean, I still think it's a really talented group at the end of the day, but they've got to start performing. And again,
Maybe
this has
overcompensated, I would say.
maybe, and some of it is also probably just, and I don't say this saying that Zach Orr is not going to become a good defensive coordinator, but I think it's safe to say at this point that they're having their issues that frankly they didn't have really at all last year, save for maybe a couple games. And you know, I mean, there's definitely some growing pains. And I'll say this, as much as I just spent time focusing on Marcus Williams and Roquan Smith a little bit in pass coverage, you know, over the first five games of the season, you know, their pass rush has been a little too feast or famine for my liking. I mean, look, Kyle Van Noy was AFC Defensive Player of the Month in September. You know, I mean, he had three straight games with two sacks. I mean, that was very impressive. What he's giving you in his age 33 season, very impressive. I think Odafe Oweh has been overall taken the next step in terms of what he's doing. You know, Matt Ebike got paid, but the guy that to me has been their best interior defensive lineman through the first five games of the season has been Travis Jones. I think he's been extremely disruptive, even if it doesn't show up in terms of tackles and sacks and numbers in a traditional line box score. But I do think the pass rush collectively has been a little feast or famine. You know, I think what we saw in the second half on Sunday, I saw, I can't remember the exact number, but Burrow was getting the ball out really quick. So there were a lot of times where even if you had a good pass rush, I mean, he was just getting rid of the ball that quickly. So, you know, what were they doing pre-snap? What were they doing from a coverage standpoint? You know, I without having a chance to extensively rewatch it and try to, you know, see the all 22 and all that, it's a little bit of an incomplete picture. But I mean, 38 points given up is 38 points given up, right? I mean, clearly something is awry and something hasn't been right with this defense. So it's just disappointing because it felt like the Bills game was the breakthrough to say, all right, that looks more like the Ravens defense. That looks more like a really deep, talented secondary and doing what they did to Josh Allen, who had played phenomenal football through the first 3 weeks of the season. But, you know, they clearly had a substantial setback on Sunday. So again, not every quarterback's Joe Burrow. Not every team has two wide receivers like Chase and Higgins, but you know, they better be ready. They better be ready to clean things up because they're going to be facing a quarterback on Sunday and Jaden Daniels, who is playing beyond his years. I get it. He's a rookie, but if you've watched them play at all, this kid's not playing like a rookie. I mean, he's put up some unbelievable numbers early on. So, hey, the Ravens can, you know, you can continue to live off of a reputation of everyone thinking you're really going to be that you're really good, or you need to go out there and start playing like it for 60 minutes. And we did not see that on Sunday. Again, credit Marlon Humphrey for getting the pick when he did. Credit Justin Madubuike or Nnamdi Madubuike for getting the sack when he did. That thwarted any thought of the Bengals winning it in regulation there. But man, I mean, you can't decide to start playing at that point. You know, you got to get some stops. And when you talk about the end of the second quarter, when you let the Bengals score with what they got the ball with 34 seconds to go and you let them score a touchdown when they had it backed up at their own 21. I mean, to borrow a line from John Harbaugh years ago, that's below the bar. I mean, that really is. And then you come out in the second half, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. I mean, it doesn't sound like a Ravens defense. So this is definitely, you know, even you can learn a lot, even through a victory, and you'd rather learn in a game that you win rather than a game that you lose. But they've got to clean things up. They've got to be way more consistent than what we're seeing. And that's in terms of coverage. I'd also say that's in terms of tackling. We've seen this team have issues tackling. A lot of these games, go back to the Dallas game, go back to the Las Vegas game. I mean, they missed a lot of tackles in the second half of those games as well. So I don't think it's as simple as just saying, oh, well, the scheme's bad, or they're playing too much man, or they're playing too much zone, or they're not doing this or that. Some of it is just execution, and you've got talented players. They got to go out and make plays. So, collectively across the board, they need to be better because, I mean, a Ravens defense ever giving up 38 points, I mean, that's just, it's unacceptable. That we know the standard around here. If there's one thing that the Ravens, I spent a lot of time in a previous segment talking about offensive identity, but the overall identity for this football team for a quarter century now has been their defense. And right now, okay, they're stopping the run. I'll give them that. But beyond that, this defense leaves a lot to be desired right now.
Luke Jones is here. He does not leave a lot to be desired. Leaving all that on the field. That's what we did last week at the Camden Yards. If you have not read my Dear David Rubenstein letter or any of our Requiem work for the Orioles and their offseason, we will continue to be discussing all things new ownership and how it relates to things. One thing is Mr. Rubenstein, I think, is on the other side of the football fence based on what I saw last weekend and his time spent at FedEx Field. He may want to be educated about the history of George Preston Marshall and Carol Rosenbloom and like all of it going back here over 50 years, because I'm aware of it. But what a week for football. Luke, I want to say this about this kid coming up here and Jaden Daniels and your crush on him and you being semi-old white guy. Now you had another birthday. You're sort of out on the get off my lawn. You're almost to the get off my lawn where I am, but you're not quite there after all of these years. I found the game on Sunday as I start to write, and I was doing my column this, and I haven't even pushed send on it yet because there's a little piece of it that I found the juxtaposition of a 41-38 game, and you're pissed at the Ravens defense, and I'm thinking they did okay against Josh Allen at home last week, like you know what I mean? But Josh Allen didn't have, and I said Stephon Diggs, and you're like, well, he's over the hill, whatever it is, didn't have those kind of weapons, the kind of weapons that the Bengals come in with. And the thought that the Bengals offensive line has been this and that, and I see Orlando Brown, and we can go back and forth on that on the offensive line, but the skill position players that the Bengals put on the field, and you wonder how Zach Taylor keeps his job. Well, you draft jet airplanes and get them running and at least score 38 points, you'd think you'd win. But there's the other part of this is how different the offenses and the philosophies have had to become from the minute that Lamar was had his head down on his mother's lap in the banquet room at the draft to teams having to deal with him, whatever the attack is. And I would say Jalen Daniels, and we watch Kyler Murray play. My wife's like, that guy's a midget. My wife watches, she's like, look how small he is in their little white uniforms that they're wearing. They're, up against all these big linemen. And I'm like, but that's the game now. And you see what the Houston Texans have been able to do. And you see also, Joe Flacco had amazing success. Albeit against the Jaguars, say whatever you want, but Joe Flacco came out and throws in that. I'm going to call it the John Elway. So I'm not going to go back to Unitas. I'll throw Marino in, but not Steve Young or what West Coast became. That's different. I think there's some elements of all of that, right, in these offenses, because the West Coast is pretty much with Flacco, Burrow, have all elements of that that's very different than Dan Fouts or run and shoot, right? But comparing how the Bengals beat you with all of these skill position players and a quarterback that gets rid of the ball like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady learned how to do, different than Brett Favre, Roethlisberger going to run around a little bit, give you a little bit of Lamar, but no, not that kind of speed at all. And then Michael Vick began this. I'm going to have Mike Silver on talking about his book this week, and we can get into quarterbacking and people that are really smart about it, the people you and I have had on, the people we know in the sport, as well as offensive coordinators that I can dial up and have Matt Kavanaugh sit here and tell me how the game has changed. But this week, it's the Washington Commanders and a new owner and Dan Quinn, who's been around the block from Salisbury through, trying to say, I'm going to sign on for what DeCosta and Harbaugh didn't lose their jobs yet. The revolution of a quarterback that can be dynamic versus, and I, you know me, man, I got a crush on Joe Burrow. And I got a crush on Joe Burrow because of what he did on Sunday. I consider that, maybe it's the old Hispanic guy in me, although they hate when I say I'm Hispanic, I am. But whatever it is, it's the old line of being a guy that watched John Elway, and he was the best. I mean, I to bring up any of them, that Elway gunsling, three-step, I'm going to read you, you're going to beat your man, you're going to be aware. We practiced it the last 5 years, and we're going to make that play happen. And if this happens, we're going to audible out of that because I'm Peyton Manning and I'm smart, or I'm Tom Brady. Lamar has the other part of always being able to run, right? So he has that ability. I don't know that they put him in that, and that's what Monken wants him to do in any way, but we're talking about the revolution now coming here with a copycat of how Lamar has worked, and we're going to see that versus what you and I would argue that, dude, if my ass were on the line and I were Eric DaCosta drafting football players, and I'm not anti-Lamar, I clearly went through the racial part of this, and I have John Eisenberg on this week, who wrote a book about black quarterbacks and historic perspective and all of that. I just don't like quarterbacks that run in the middle of the field and get hurt. You'll say he doesn't get hurt that way. It is astonishing that nobody can catch him, nobody can bring him down. He pushes off 290-pound Terrell Suggs-like defenders. He never gets hit. He never gets squared up on. He's still a quarterback and can dive and never does. Lamar's unbelievable. But Joe Burrow is too. And I think we saw that. And this is really old and new. Some would say black and white. Some would say run and not run. Some would say RPO, whatever you want to call it. But the evolution of where this looked like Navy football helmets 5, 6 years ago for Lamar, for him to be able to go out and dice up the Bengals and get them back into this with a running game that's powerful, the revolution is still being set. The Joe Burrow offense, we've been seeing that for 30, 40 years. It works when it works. And when you have the talent around, it can work. And it diced up the Ravens pretty good on Sunday. I would say there's still a case to be made for. There's a couple of ways to play offense here, and the Ravens are trying to do it in a way that's really never won the Super Bowl. But I would say Mahomes is Lamar, right? So you could say the last 5 years, there's much more of the Mahomesization of the league and the Lamarization of the league than there is guys like Joe Burrow winning. Although, the Rams guy, Matt Stafford, would make a case for the old way too.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not saying that you can't still do that, but if you're going to ask me to choose one or the other, give me the dual threat guy any day of the week. I mean,
There you
and
go.
no, Patrick Mahomes doesn't run to the degree that Lamar Jackson does, but how many times have you seen Patrick Mahomes absolutely break a defense's back when it's 3rd and 7 and they cover their butts off and he gets loose and runs for 8 yards. And you mentioned John Elway. Look, John Elway early in his career, John Elway could move around a little bit. Now, Dan Marino was your stand back in the pocket and throw, right?
Well, and
Elway
Brady
could
and
do some
Manning
of
were
that.
that way too. Let me throw a
Look.
quarterback at you that I have the crush on from a game standpoint. That if I want to see the game played, Kurt Warner. Give me an and Burrow's that guy, indoor arena football league, making passes from 5 to 15 yards every time on the dime safely to great receivers who then can move or not. But that to me is the best football I've seen. Not the most exciting. The most exciting is with this Lamar thing. The most exciting is Ben Roethlisberger extending plays and Fran Tarkenton. That's exciting. But I think the way I would want to win a Super Bowl would be with the Kurt Warner or Joe Burrow, a guy who delivers the ball to really special, talented athletes without putting himself in harm's way.
Okay, I mean that's your preference. You're entitled to
Let's
that.
argue that Friday. Can we extend? Can I just tease that and let you? We'll just do all defense in this segment, and we can. Or do you have anything you want to retort on that?
Mean, I just think that. I think that style sounds great if you have great wide receivers, but we also saw what Joe Flacco looked like the second half of his career after they traded away Anquan Boldin and let Torrey Smith walk out the door, and they had a 36-year-old version of Steve Smith who was still pretty good. but not what he was 7 years earlier in his career.
He also
And
didn't have
we,
Derrick Henry.
oh, I'm just saying. I mean, what you present, and there's validity to it. I'm not going to sit here. I mean, Tom Brady didn't run at all, but at that's, you know, what Tom Brady did without having elite of elite talent his entire career, although Rob Gronkowski is one of the greatest tight ends of all time, and maybe at his peak, the best ever, albeit a brief, you know, that was a
And he
relatively
also
brief.
came along when Brady needed him.
And also Randy Moss had, you know, had his renaissance, you know, going from the Raiders to the Patriots. But by and large, Tom Brady did not, you know, it's not like Joe Montana having Jerry Rice and Steve Young having Jerry Rice, for example. But I would say that the dual threat quarterback, generally speaking, and that doesn't mean they don't need anyone to throw to, but generally speaking, feels like they can do more with less. And I mean, that was one of the big things, you know, with the Greg Roman offense and how little Greg Roman seemed to value wide receivers, if we're being honest, you know, when you consider it was Lamar running and it was the running backs running and Lamar throwing to the tight ends. And look, that took them a long way. You know, they won a lot of football games, but you know, for them to feel like they needed to grow, they went to Todd Monken and went to the next level, and they've drafted wide receivers here the last couple of years. And you know, so point is, bring it back, just the final thought with a defense. I guarantee you, even with the Ravens having gone through what they went through on Sunday defensively, they would still say on a week-by-week basis, they'll face the pocket passer quarterback that's going to stand back there and not take off. They'll gladly take on that guy compared to a guy like Jaden Daniels who can throw the ball. I mean, anyone who doubted his ability to throw the ball, you didn't watch him at Louisville or at LSU last year. But at the same time, you also see his ability to take off and how that can wreck a game. So any of these guys are going to tell you, look, Joe Burrow is great. Matthew Stafford's great. You know, Tom Brady was the greatest of all time. Like, you know, they'll tell you all that, but Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, even though he doesn't run a whole lot, but he's effective doing it. Josh Allen and what he does. I mean, they'll look at that and Jaden Daniels now, add him to the list. And all these guys aren't exactly the same. Let's be clear. Let's not, you know, we're not trying to pigeonhole anyone. Everyone has their strengths and weaknesses and different qualities that are a little bit different than the other guy, but they all use their legs and they all use their legs really, really well. And any defense will tell you that that is a colossal headache. So yeah, both these defenses, Washington and the Ravens, they're gonna, you know, these coordinators, these defensive coaches, gonna have some sleepless nights this week, trying to get ready for a dual threat quarterback on both sides. And Lamar's been doing it for years, but I'm telling you, this Jaden Daniels kid, for a rookie especially, has been really, really impressive. But let's see how he does coming into Baltimore, hoping that your defense rebounds and looks a little bit more like they did against Josh Allen than they did against Joe Burrow on Sunday.
All right, we're going to be out on Friday celebrating birthdays, and I guess we're going to have a quarterback debate where you and I can go to Essex and sort it out, just like I did at Stemmer's Run when I played for the Dundalk Midgets back in the day with John Rollo running over to Stemmer's Runners. We're going to be down at Back River Neck Road. Stop on down on Friday. Have some, have a crab cake, have a pizza, pepperoni pizza, whatever you want. Get my kind of pizza. You can get the Hawaiian, that's a ham, pineapple, and then get the pepperonis on it. Have it a little extra well done. Get those pepperonis crisp up real nice for you. Some sprinkled cheese on there. A little Greek salad or a little chef salad on the side. Luke's going to have some strawberry ice cream. Never mint chocolate chip, though. I learned that. And Leonard Raskin's going to join us on Friday. It's also his birthday this week, so it's big birthday. Jim Palmer. Jim, you're invited. You know I love you. Come on, come to Essex. I'll feed you pizza. You don't get that pizza in Laguna Beach. I promise you that. So it's our birthdays this week. And Sammy Hagar's invited, but he's in Mexico drinking Julio's tequila, so he won't be there this week. But we'll be there. Maybe we'll listen to some Sammy Hagar. I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about Jim Palmer on his birthday. Luke and I'll be there on Friday. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, who have Raven scratch-offs to give away, as well as our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions, 1-800-CLEAN-WATER, putting us out on the Oyster Tour, which is available. We're gonna have a new logo. I have the new logo. I'm gonna put it up this week. I'm so excited. It's a crab. It's an oyster. It's a 26. It's Rod Woodson. It's Johnny Oates. It's good things. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. It's football. We won this week. Let's all be happy. Let's rejoice. Blame Washington this week. They better not lose.